Alex Sider net.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, we are underway on this Monday. Another week begins. It's Monday, December 16th. Welcome to this hour of Flames Talk with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. This Christmas, give the gift of security with smart locks and safes. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Hello, Mr. Gilbertson. How we doing?
We're good, buddy. You?
I'm doing all right. It was a good weekend. It was a heck of a response for the Flames in that game against the Florida Panthers. And now they can put that stretch of really bad hockey potentially behind them. Or I don't want to say really bad hockey, but the results weren't there. And a rough 8-3 loss to Tampa on Thursday, erased by a nice 3-0 win over Florida on Saturday. And there were a lot of positives on Saturday, but we want to highlight a couple of them. This hour, Trent Cull, head coach of the Calgary Wranglers, will join us for his regular Monday chat with us. And Flames Talk's available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And the first positive you and I wanted to touch on was the play of Jacob Pelche, because I really thought he was one of the bigger standout players in the game against Florida. I liked his game all night. I thought he played with energy. I thought he was engaged offensively. I really liked his work in some of those one-on-one board battles and some of the wins he came away with on some of those board battles. We had Cale McLean, Flames assistant coach, with us on our Flames Talk post-game show, and he spoke a little bit about Jacob Pelche's night on Saturday.
I thought he did a great job. I thought this is one of his stronger games. I feel like might have been first shift, second shift. A puck came around to Jacob on the wall. Their D was pinching like Florida's D do. They sort of they tried to jump in front of you. Jacob got into that guy early with his body. It was a huge size mismatch. Jacob won the battle because he was willing to get into the opposing defenseman, protect that ice, make the next play. And I felt like he did that several times through the night. And as a result, was really into the game, made some good plays with the puck, and happy to see him have a strong game.
For his first game in a top nine role this season and in a long time, like, that's what you've wanted to see.
Yeah.
I've liked him throughout the recall, even in a more limited role prior, but I thought it was a really important outing for him against Florida on Saturday.
Yeah, I think that was certainly one that he can build upon. How many young players or maybe tweeners have we talked to over the years that will eventually, you know, admit as they start to get more comfortable, it's hard to go from playing 20 minutes a night in the minors to playing 7 in the NHL and have an impact. And the guys who last as fourth liners figure out a way to do it. But I don't think that it's a coincidence that Jacob Pelche saw a bump in ice time and responded with his best game. I also think, you know, nobody and Jacob Pelche is as team focused as any kid that you're going to meet. You know, he didn't leave the rink with a big smile on his face after the 8-3 loss from Tampa, but the fact that he was sitting there that night and the penalty kill was a bit of a fire again and the team didn't have the energy that you'd expect them to, that reflected on Jacob Pelche in a positive way. They missed Jacob Pelche against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I'm not sitting here saying, you know, the Flames would have won 9-8 with number 22 in the lineup that night. But I think you can look at these past two games and say, you know, both have bolstered Jacob Pelche's case to be a lineup lock for the Flames. The one game he was out, they didn't look the same. The game he was in, he responded with, I'd say, the best of his five on this call-up so far.
You mentioned the penalty kill. This was head coach Ryan Huska on Saturday as well when he spoke post-game about Jacob's night and his importance in that one particular role.
I like Jacob tonight. I thought he moved his feet. I thought he was engaged physically tonight, which is important for him. I thought he had a real effective night tonight.
Back to Pelche, is that an opportunity for him to find himself a spot on that?
100%. So he has Walker Duehr as well. There is a chance for those guys to continue to try to find or grab hold of something that allows them to feel like, hey, I bring some more value to the table. I think that's why our power play's gotten much better lately, as guys feel like, hey, this is something that's different in a game. I think our penalty kill struggled a little bit because we haven't had enough guys grab hold of it. Like, this is my thing. So we're hopeful that he'll continue to run with that role.
I really liked Jacob 5-on-5 on that line with Zary and Sharon Govich, but yeah. You add in the penalty killing work, and they were much better on the PK on Saturday compared to, you couldn't get much worse than they were on Thursday. But that penalty killing role and grasping a hold of it and really embracing that opportunity, that could go a long way in keeping Pelche an everyday guy in this lineup.
Yeah.
You know, I think he took some real steps forward in doing that against the Panthers.
And I wrote something this morning. You can find it on the Post Media sites, and I'll tweet it out even after this segment in case anyone's interested. But that penalty kill, I think, is so crucial to Jacob Pelche's chances of proving that he should be an every nighter for the Calgary Flames. That, you know, beyond going up and down on the yo-yo on off days for salary cap and waiver management reasons, that he's a guy that should be in the lineup every night. That's what he's trying to show. And if you're going to play in a bottom six role as an NHL forward, you need something that you do better than most, right? Kevin Rooney is a good example of a guy. Why is Kevin Rooney in the Flames lineup every single night? It's because he and Michael Backlund are the first forwards over the boards on a penalty kill. When we talked about Justin Kirkland, why was Justin Kirkland going to be, prior to his injury, in the lineup every night? Because when you had a game that went to a shootout, you knew that you were going to count on Justin Kirkland. That was his little piece of the pie. Mm-hmm. Penalty kill as well, a little bit for him, but, you know, shootout was his little piece of the pie. If the Calgary Flames could find someone with a right-handed curve on their stick who could win a few face-offs, that guy would probably be in the lineup every single night, because that's a piece of the pie that they really need someone to step into. And for Jacob Pelche, it's shorthanded. It's not a huge sample size. He's only been up for 5 games, but he's had basically 5 minutes of shorthanded ice time. That's 10 shifts, let's call it, on the penalty kill, and he's yet to surrender a goal. And so if he can have success, if he can find a groove on that second PK pair with Blake Coleman, and, you know, we just wrapped the Daily Flames roundtable, who's not in that spot anymore? Yegor Sharangovich. It was something he did for the bulk of last season, kind of lost it to Justin Kirkland, I'm sorry, earlier this year. But if Jacob Pelche can be a guy that you know you can count on the penalty kill, it's suddenly really tough to take him out of the lineup.
Yep. And that's what I think Pelche needed to do on this opportunity. And I'm not speaking out of school when I say this could be his last opportunity to prove to the Flames that he can be a full-time NHLer and that he belongs full-time in this league. That's not me just saying that for fun. I think there was a real feel internally that, hey, show us this time or else we've got some decisions to make going forward with his contract expiring. And I give the guy a ton of credit because he didn't do that in training camp. And I think it was a big disappointment for everybody. I think obviously he was disappointed. And the organization was like, hey, like, this is a big opportunity for 22 and didn't necessarily answer the bell. Well, some injuries opened the door. And here he is, and I give him a lot of credit. So far, he's doing everything he can to ring that bell. And so the more of this, that's the challenge, is that it's got to now continue. It can't just be this and then it drops off and comes back every once or every 2 or 3 games. It has to be an off night is out of the ordinary for him. But I think he's done a lot for his stock, I think, with what he's done, because in a limited fourth line role, he's been effective. He's brought that energy, and obviously, he's been able to be decently productive in that fourth line role.
Yep.
He gets that opportunity in the top nine on Zary's line. Those two guys have got a really good off-ice relationship, and he contributed there. He played more than 13 minutes against Florida, and the more penalty killing time they get, the more his ice time will be. I've been really impressed, and I give Jacob a lot of credit. This is what I wanted to see. I wanted to see him recognize an opportunity and be ready to seize it. I think his time in the American League, going down there, producing, being confident, being counted on in every situation, I think it got his confidence level back to where it needed to be. It got him questioning his game and what he is as a player a whole lot less, and he was able to jump in. I remember him talking the first 2 days after the recall, and he's like, I wasn't Pelts before. I'm going to be now. And he said it with a lot of conviction. Yeah. I said, and this guy gets it. I think mentally he understands it, and he's put his money where his mouth is. Good on him.
I know something that's not lost on him as well is, in a way, the waiver situation is tough. I remember AJ Greer putting it this way. I wouldn't wish the 24 hours of waivers on my worst enemy, right? And so you've got two crappy outcomes coming out of it. One, you have to pack up your life and move to another city, and oh yeah, you have to do that in about 4 hours. Or B, you're basically getting a message from the rest of the league that they're saying, no thanks, right? 31 teams looked at Jacob Pelche, a former first-round pick, a guy that there'd been so much spotlight on in Calgary, and said, you know what? We're not sure he's an NHLer either. And one thing that was not lost on Jacob Pelche, and as I mentioned, I wrote about him today for Post Media. Part of our conversation was about the sort of belief that he felt from his current Flames teammates when he went on waivers. He said, I asked him, did you hear from any guys in that 24 hours? And he said, you know, shortly after I was on waivers, there were 5 Flames had texted me. Michael Backlund, Jonathan Huberdeau, Connor Zary, Kevin Rooney, and Matt Coronato. And he said the message from those guys was, go work your ass off and we'll see you here sooner than later. And when he cleared waivers, he essentially had that look in the mirror moment. And it's funny, he told me, like, it's so cliche, but I actually looked myself in the mirror and said, you have to go do the work to get a chance to prove you should be in the NHL. And small sample size, I wouldn't say that any of the questions about whether Jacob Pelche should be a full-time NHLer have been answered just yet.
Yeah.
But it's a darn good start, isn't it?
Really good start. And now it's got to continue. But I give him a lot of credit for being able to do it.
Yeah. And the other night was a great example. Like, some of those board battles he won, it's a great example of how he has to win them, right? Like, Jacob Pelche is not the biggest or strongest guy. You know, Jacob Pelche, if he's got one thing working against him at this point, I think it is strength, both in board battles and how much mustard he can put on a shot. You know, that's probably going to limit his scoring at this point at the NHL level. And yet, if he can win those battles, if he can show that physical engagement that Ryan Huska talked about, but also be smart about it and understand, okay, you know, I can't arm wrestle Aaron Ekblad and expect to come out on the right end of it every time. I think he was really savvy about it on Saturday, and that impressed me as much as anything.
The other big positive, or one of the other big positives, Dustin Wolf.
Ow.
Because I think, you know, there were some, I don't want to say, I don't think you or I were one of these people. And I'm not saying that, oh, we were right and you were wrong. That's not what it's all about. I understand why there were some who were like, maybe this guy's backsliding a little bit. Maybe this guy's showing us maybe a little closer to what he is after 3 starts where he wasn't very, I don't want to say wasn't very good, but 3 starts
that's
numbers
fair.
Weren't very good. And yeah, he wasn't at the same level as he was before. He bounces back, comes back into that game against the defending cup champs and blanks him and makes a couple of huge stops as that night goes along. Preserves the shutout with a huge stop late. The big save on Sam Bennett. Had the big stop on Sam Reinhart after he and Mackenzie Weegar kind of battled all the way down the ice. And finally, Reinhart got the shot away. That was a really good night for Wolf. And he looked like the guy that we had been raving about prior.
Yeah.
Calm, well-positioned, just completely unfazable. I thought
really
that was
good reads.
Great reads, yeah, all night. You know, I think for some who were questioning if maybe the blooms come off a little bit, that's a nice response from him as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. And, you know, I think Dustin Wolf needed that as well. I don't think Dustin Wolf was doubting his abilities, but, you know, when you've had 14 hung on you in a three game span, when your save percentage over that three game span is 846, something's gone wrong. You know, we do, Danny Austin and I, my post media colleague Danny Austin and I, do sort of like a mailbag once a week and ask for questions. And one of the questions that came in last week was, you know, with a 479 and 846 in his past three starts, is the NHL starting to figure out Dustin Wolf? You know, is the league starting to figure out this rookie goalie? And I went and watched all 14 goals looking for, like, okay, is there a trend here? You know, are we seeing a lot of top bunk, which is always the fear with an undersized goalie? And, you know, it was a lot of, because the Flames had been struggling defensively, it was a lot of odd man rushes. There were some deflections, and then there were some uncharacteristic plays by Dustin Wolf. I think of the one in Columbus where he completely missed his post and he's sort of, you know, sliding out into the circle. I guess those ones are going to happen sometimes, but I think Dustin Wolf, as aware and as smart as he is, he knew people were wondering. And that was a pretty emphatic statement from the 23-year-old goaltender on Saturday.
Second career shutout. Apparently, I didn't know this, but apparently both his shutouts have come on full moons, which is just delicious irony, as they
You know what?
It.
Every time I try to like learn some analytics and get into a few more
Something
stats,
new comes
you
out.
You one up me. I had no idea.
That's expected full moons. That's
expected
what
shutouts on full moons. I don't even know what website. Yeah, I don't know what websites you're subscribed to for that.
Well, you got to pay. Like You got to pay for the premium on full moons.
I can't keep up.
High tide. That's a great one as well. Oh.
At high tide, that's a big one. When the Bow River is at high tide.
XGHD, expected goals high. XGHT, expected goals high tide. Very, very important.
How about his home numbers?
The splits are bonkers.
Yeah.
And that's the team and their goalies. Like both Vladar and Wolf have far better splits or far better home splits compared to the road.
Right.
But Wolf's are really, like, the home numbers for Wolf are out of bounds good.
Well, even, like, just this stat, the Flames have 11 wins on home ice this season, and four have been shutouts.
Yeah. Two each?
Yeah. Two full moons, and then, I don't know, I haven't checked Dan Vladar's moon to shutout ratio.
I think he's on a new moon guy. Expected moons was higher for Wolf. He's with the full moon. Good on Dustin Wolf. Good on Jacob Pelche. Solid games on Saturday. We're underway this hour on Flames Talk. It's Wes and Pat from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's Steinberg and Wes as this hour on Flames Talk continues, and it's a Monday, which means we always get the opportunity to chat with the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers, Trent Cull. Wranglers over the weekend dropped a couple to Coachella Valley, 3-1 Saturday, 4-2 Sunday. Wranglers now 19-7-1, still your number one team overall in the American Hockey League, as they've got one more road game and three more games, period, before they get a week-long Christmas break. Let's say hello to Trent Cull, who joins us south of the border right now, head coach of the Wranglers on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Coach, appreciate the time as always. How are you on this Monday?
Oh, good, guys. Good. Just day off in California, so we're in Ontario a couple days before the advance of our game on Wednesday, so it's good.
Well, how now that you've had a little bit of time to reflect and probably take a look at some of the tape, how do you evaluate and look back on the group over the weekend?
Yeah, no, I thought we had a good last weekend there, and last week we played some games during the week with Manitoba, so it was nice to get four wins at home in a row. It was great. And then we came in here, just came in for the last two games versus Coachella. And thought we had a decent night. Our first night, I thought we played well. Just a couple mistakes, you know, that kind of cost you. And it was a tighter checking game, and we couldn't find the extra bit of offense. But, you know, too, and then actually, too, like you don't have your Devin Cooley, your kind of like your mistake kind of nullifier, so to speak. And so, yeah. So anyways, it was one of those nights where I thought we, like out of the two games, I thought we played better the first night. I didn't like our energy last night. We just couldn't, it was a one goal game until there was an empty netter at the end, but we just couldn't find that extra gear. And so it was just okay.
you have responded really well to maybe stretches, couple of games where maybe a little not on your game or uncharacteristic or whatever term you want to use. I would imagine from you as the coach, Trent, still pretty confident that your group will be able to find a way to get back on track on Wednesday, hey?
Yeah, no, I mean, we're playing Ontario. It's a good hockey team. So, and for us right now, just being honest too, like we're thinned out a little bit too, right?
Yeah.
So we talked about this. I mean, we are a really young team right now. And the great thing is the young guys are getting an opportunity to play. So, but you know, sometimes too that mistakes are made, right? And this is where we're at right now. We've lost kind of maybe some of the buffer that some of those older guys have provided, which are guys playing for the Flames and stuff right now. So it's a good, like I said, it's a good opportunity. It's kind of like the double-edged sword. You know, you get to see everybody play. They're going to get a chance to keep playing. And unfortunately, though, you know, when you make a mistake or a couple mistakes, that it tends to cost you, right? So that's just kind of how it goes. And when you lose that little extra bit of firepower, you can't really kind of come back. And, you know, we've been filling the net a lot of the nights, right? So, but that doesn't come as easy now.
First of all, I love the way that you described Devin Cooley, the mistake nullifier, and you don't have him for those games in Coachella Valley. And so a much younger goaltending tandem, you know, neither Valtteri Ignatiev or Connor Murphy have a ton of American League experience under their belt. Those two games against good team, tough building to play in, how big a development tool, just how much of a learning experience can that be for both those guys who started a game over the weekend?
Yeah, no, you know, it's great for all the young guys, right? Like it's a kind of a raging building, and it's got a great atmosphere, and I think that Coachella is a good solid hockey team, you know, and so it's good, like, you know what I mean, like, you know, you're never happy to win by any or lose by any means, but then you're not going to win them all either. And you know, part of our job here is that you're going to have young guys. They're going to make mistakes, whether it's goalies, players, whatever. And so you just got to kind of keep going with them and you know, get them in those experience situations. And hopefully in the long run, by the end of the year, that's kind of helping them learn, and they have learned from those spots.
We are chatting with Trent Kull. He's the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. Joins us Mondays here on Flames Talk. It's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson. Wes.
Trent, you mentioned earlier how young of a group you have right now, and I want to kind of key in on one of those young guys. Sam Honzek turned 20, I believe, in November, youngest forward on your roster. I'm curious. I can see, obviously, the numbers, points in four of his past five for you, but where is Sam at in terms of his development? What have you been maybe keen on with Sam this season, and where have you seen the biggest development in him since he returned from starting the season with the big club?
Well, I think he's doing a great job of first of all, he's playing a ton of minutes, right? He's playing power play, he's playing penalty kill, he's playing a lot, so I think he did a really good job at home. I thought he kind of came alive a little bit and started having a little more puck play and having comfort with having the puck on a stick. And we talked about that previous, the first four games at home, about, you know, holding on to that thing a little extra and, you know, looking for maybe something else in the ozone, because use your tools. He's a big guy. He skates well. He can protect the puck well. And I thought he did took almost the next step for me, I thought, with those games at home there. So, and then, you know, as we go on the road too, that's another big thing, is we got to teach our young guys that they got to play, you know, the same way on the road too, right? So, and the thing is, there's no shelter. There's no like, hey, the older guys can do this, whatever, because there's not really many of them. So that's the one thing, like Sam and some of the other younger guys, that we need them to take steps all the time, even on the road as well.
What would you say are his, and we obviously got a run of seeing him play a ton in the preseason. We watched him start the season with the Flames. But, you know, when you look at Sam and the, I suppose, tools that can really help him impact a game at your level, what stands out for you?
For me, it's his speed. I mean, he can skate really well. He can control the puck. He's got a big long stick, so he's a big, long, rangy guy. So he can affect plays around him defensively, which also then allows him to get pucks onto his stick. But I think he really skates well, and I think that that's kind of like one of those things when you talk about speed and skill. You may not always get those packages at the American Hockey League level. They might be able to do one or the other really well, and he's a guy who's emerging as one of those guys who can provide both. And when he's doing it, he's vital for us. That's for sure. That's Santa's train going by me here, boys, at the mall. So I just want to let you know what's going on. Here.
Yeah, can we give you a list? There's a couple of requests I'd like you to put in, if you don't mind.
Well, I'm trying to fill that with my own kids and wife right now, because this is my shopping day for Christmas. You know what I mean? And also, as you guys know, the mail, I know, hasn't been running. So, like, it's tough to get anything mailed in and this and that. So today's my day. So
I was going to say, Christmas shopping in American dollars is gutsy behavior.
Well, it is, but you know, one thing is, you go to some of those stores, you can find some pretty good deals. Yeah, so, I do the conversion pretty quickly in my head.
Let me ask you one more, and it's based on something you just told us about Sam Hanzak. But I think people are so fascinated by that development process in general. So you say that you feel like Sam kind of took a step forward on that homestand, that he maybe found, I don't know if it's another level or another gear, but when you have that kind of breakthrough stretch of games, Trent, with a young guy, what are you showing them? What are you telling them to help them sort of make that more of a constant?
You know what? And it's not much. Sam's a smart guy. Like, he knows what's going on. And we had conversations, just real quick ones. So it would just be like, hey, you know, how was your weekend? And he was talking, good. You know, I felt better with that. We talked about the puck, and I'm like, yeah, like, absolutely. And so it was just more for me is reassuring him, hey, doing a great job. And you know what? My thought is like, hey, if you make a mistake or something doesn't pan out for you in the ozone, it's okay. It's okay. Like, we've got, you know, two other zones to rectify that. But I mean, and the other great thing is, just like I refer back to what we were saying before, is that he's got enough speed that he can almost, you know, counter punch anything that doesn't work out his way anyway. So, like, just getting back and defending well. So, no, I think he's really, I've loved where he's going, you know what I mean? And then for me, it's just, how do we get him even more competitive away from the puck, getting back into those battles to get the puck back? And it's a lot of, it's a lot of the same conversations I used to have with Matt Coronato, that's for sure, too. So a lot of similar things that we're talking about.
That's interesting. Trent Culls with us, head coach of the Wranglers, joined us on Mondays. You know, I've asked you a few times throughout the year about your young blue line, and you know, you've got some guys that, you know, some have got a little bit more American League experience than others, but generally a pretty young blue line that you've been managing this year. I wanted to ask you about a couple of guys in particular, and one I know that I have not asked you about yet this year is Jeremy Poirier. And last year, maybe not quite a lost season, but you sustain as serious an injury as he did early on, it kind of messes with a good chunk of a development year from him. What have you seen from Jeremy this year, knowing how last year went for him?
Yeah, no, and you're right. And that's what I guess is a contributing factor to having a really young blue line. Like, I don't think as JP is being really an elder statesman. Like, he's almost like he's in the second year, right? And then you add Bruce DeWitt's in there, who's pretty young, and his career obviously just starting out. You know, Yermo's been playing. Now we got Grushnikov back. He's in his second year. And these guys are rounded out with the wily veterans of, you know, third, fourth year, Kuzi and Soloviev. So, like, it's not a – it's young. And like I said to you, some days there's mistakes that happen back there, right? We just had Yoni Yermo playing some games too. So – But for JP specifically, I think it's just more of the, like, I think he's making those plays. We know he's got a good vision. We know he can make good plays. I think his power play game is getting better and better. And it's just, for us, it's just teaching that defensive side of just being super reliable all the time, getting back for pucks. And then you're just, your reads, a lot of young defensemen, your reads off the rush are instantaneous things that happen. And so, We talk about this a lot with our defensemen. We talk about a lot of trying to be predictable for each other and just making it easier reads for them. And then, but this is something that they can always work on.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, and then the other guy I wanted to ask you about was Grushnikov, because you had him for a little bit last year after the trade and after acquiring him. But where is he now for you in his first full year with the organization in terms of comfort level and confidence? What are you noticing there?
You know what? I think he's, to be honest, like he's been out for two weeks with injury and just got back, played his first game last game, right? So it's good to have him back in. But I thought he had a really good camp in Calgary for the Flames. And then I think that he came down here and I think he struggled for a little bit, you know, and it's not easy your second year getting yourself back in. And just, so where he is just, he's really good defending. He's a physical guy. And so for us, it's just making that important first pass decision and just making it easy and just becoming more and more consistent with it. And I think that's something that we know we're going to get physicality compete out of him for sure. I know, and he's, good kid. He wants to do all the right things. Just his puck play and making those easy decisions and being consistent with it. That's kind of the, and I think he kind of came out of that and was playing pretty good for us. But now, unfortunately, got a little injured there. Took a kind of a cheap shot in Manitoba. But it was nice. I thought he played well for us yesterday.
You know, because I was wondering if you were going to bring up the puck play, because I know that's, you know, one thing you talk with other people. You're like, man, if he can get a little bit more confident and a little bit more comfortable there, you know, this guy's got an even higher ceiling, because we know physicality. We know his defensive game is strong. How easy is that to improve at that part of it? Like, is it a confidence thing more than anything else when it comes to playing with the puck on your stick?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of getting yourself to the situation as fast as you can. So skate as fast as you can for like plays like the retrievals and making that, knowing what your simple outs are first. And then if you can keep consistently doing that, right? And it's stuff that, it comes in time, you know, for the most part, it comes with guys. And then some guys, it is confidence. Some guys, it's experience, you know, however that moves along, right? So, but that'll just be the situations that we got to keep putting them in, talking to them through it, and just kind of showing them video and helping them along to make that kind of hopefully a growth area for him.
Trent, I want to ask you guys are in Ontario this week. Brett Sutter, I think, was, you know, there long enough. He might have helped build that arena, and I wanted to ask you about him. He transitions from captain now to a member of your coaching staff, and I've had conversations with a couple of young forwards in the past couple of weeks, one with Jacob Pelche, another one with Rory Cairns, and they both sort of singled out Brett as a guy whose work with the forwards has helped them a lot, you know, who's that's his sort of position group. And you know, while you work with them, he kind of tries to lead them along as well. I'm curious, how is Brett's transition to the coaching world going?
It's been good. It's been good. He's like you said, from the players, he's got that instant respect factor from those guys, in the sense of that, you know, he's just been with them in the trenches. So they know that, you know, and he's a respected guy already from the role that he had with them. And then, so he's helping them out and learning the ropes of other coaching as we go. But you know what? He's working hard at it, and you can see that. And I think the players see that. And so they know that he's trying to aid them and help them along. And I think it's been really good for us in the sense of, you know, he's been tasked with running the power play. Power play has kind of taken a next little step and jump. So it's been good. He's been moving along real well, and which we anticipated him doing too, right? Because it's not like he's a young 25-year-old transitioning over. Mm-hmm. He's got tons of experience to rely upon. It's obviously in the genes with the family too. So I think it's been an easy, seamless transition for him.
Well, and now you've got Ontario on Wednesday, your final road game before Christmas. I know you said a really good team and a team that you're expecting a tough out from. What do you need to be aware of as you take on that Ontario Reign group on Wednesday?
It's just more us. I'm more worried about us right now. We've got to make sure that we're, you know, this is where we go. We go up and we go down, and that's you know, personnel wise, we're probably least amount of depth as we've had. You know, everybody's kind of in. Everybody's playing. Everybody's got to fill the role. And so we lost Clark Bishop. He has to go back. He's got an expected wife at some point here soon, too. So he won't be on this next game for us. So it's going to kind of be I've said this before, the all hands on deck, sort of the next man up. But, yeah, like, we got guys being thrust into spots that they've never played. And they're going to have to – and they're going to get the opportunity. And we're hoping for us to be successful or to win one game, obviously they're going to have to transition to that role pretty quickly and do a good job, right? So a little bit of pressure, but that's kind of exciting, I think, for some of those young guys too, you know, hopefully to step up and get an opportunity and kind of run with it.
Great stuff, as always, Trent. Really appreciate the insight. Good luck with the rest of your Christmas shopping needs. We wish you all the best of luck, and hopefully you come back fully stocked.
All right. Thank you, boys. I appreciate that. Yeah, I got Santa's sack here. I'm trying to fill it up and find a way to get that checked on the plane on Thursday.
Godspeed.
Get the equipment guys to help you out with that.
They can always do that. Thanks, Trent.
Will do. Thanks, boys. Appreciate it. Take care of yourself.
You as well. Trent Cull is the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. He joins us every Monday on Flames Talk, and he joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and delivery available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. As we start to wrap things up this hour, Wranglers play one more road game before they're home for two to wrap things up before Christmas. Their final game is Sunday the 22nd before the Christmas break.
I'm going to mess this up, but they've got some pretty cool holiday plans that day, don't they?
Yeah, the Winter Wrangler Fest.
Yeah.
You should go check that out.
Some good stories down there. Some really interesting insights there on some more young guys, right? Sam Honzek, Jeremy Poirier, Artem Grushnikov. You sort of load up, you know, you load up your hand with as many cards as you can get and hope that, you know, some of them turn into aces or face cards for you.
Yep.
I think the Flames have got a really nice development thing going. You know, we praise Brad Pascal and his work with the Wranglers. I know recognized again by Hockey Canada, going to
Brad Spengler.
Yeah, co-GM at the Spengler. So always deserving of a shout out there. But, you know, that's a young hockey team that is clipping along really well in the AHL.
Yep.
And, you know, continues to supply good news stories for the Flames organization.
That'll start to wrap us up this hour on Flames Talk. Thanks to Cam Hughes, Shan Vergie, our outstanding producer. Wes Gilbertson's on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg, and the Sports Drive has been brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. This Christmas, give the gift of security with smart locks and safes. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com.